And Jesus makes perfectly clear in our text today that those who follow Christ walk in the light and are free indeed. But those who reject Him walk in darkness and are slaves to sin.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, I think that without a doubt, one of the single most important questions we can ask in all of life is this simple question right here. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Sashka, say that along with me. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Fact is he is the most important person who ever lived. And what we believe about him is eternally significant. And what we do with him is the most important decision we'll ever make. And what we believe about him, what we do with him, has eternal consequences. Well, that is true for us today, and it was certainly true for the people then in Jesus' day, as they too were confronted with this enigmatic man. We're continuing in our series today in the Gospel of John. We're asking ourselves, and I can't find my other one. There it is. Because this one doesn't seem to want to work, so we're going to try this one. That one isn't working either. Okay. Oh, it was you? Okay, the other one's fine. Okay. You sure? Okay. There we go. That's better. Now we're good to go. So, who is Jesus? Most important question we can ask in life. True for us today, true for the people in Jesus' day. And we see that now, as then, some have believing hearts, some have blind hearts. Some did believe in him, but most did not. And Jesus makes perfectly clear in our text today that those who follow Christ walk in the light and are free indeed. But those who reject him walk in darkness and are slaves to sin. So considering all this, understanding the identity of Jesus Christ is crucial. Who is Jesus? Well, I would remind us that in the Gospel of John, we see a series of statements that Jesus makes called the I Am statements. John lists 7 of these I Am statements in his Gospel. And we saw the first one in chapter 6, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, what are some of the other I am statements? Who knows? What are some of the other I am statements that Jesus made? I am the way, the truth, the life. What else? The good shepherd. I am the light of the world. So there's 7. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So we saw the bread of life, and today we see this second I am statement. I am the light of the world, found in our text today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me then to the Gospel of John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8, and we will pick up then at verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of 2 people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And they said to him, therefore, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. And where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. And so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. Our text today will give us four keys to understanding the identity of Jesus Christ. And that first one we see right here is this, that Jesus is the light of the world. As you may recall, Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths. And it was one of the three great Jewish feasts. It was a celebratory time of thanksgiving for the harvest. And for 7 days, devout Jews would live outdoors in booths made of tree branches. How many of you think that sounds like fun? Would you love to do that? 7 days, go outside, just put together like a little tent made out of tree branches. Sounds like fun to me. Actually, those of you who know me well know that doesn't sound like fun to me at all. But they would do this for 7 days. Why? Why would they do this? Because this was a reminder. This is a reminder to them of God's provision for them out in the desert during the early days of their forefathers wandering. And so through that then, it was a remembrance of that, but it also then signified that God dwells with his people. Now, a major feature of the feast was the lighting of giant lamps in one of the courts of the temple complex. And the wicks for these lamps were made from the priests' worn-out garments. How many of you would like to get rid of your old clothes that way, right? They'd take that and they'd put it in, they'd use it, they would burn them. That would be the wick for burning these huge lamps in the temple complex. And this light would go out, this light would illuminate the temple area, and the people would gather there to sing praises and dance. Now again, you might wonder, that sounds like kind of a strange thing to do, lighting these lamps there and then coming, singing and dancing. Well, what it was is that light reminded them of how God was with them in the wilderness wanderings. Remember, by day it was a pillar of cloud, and by night it was what? A great light, a fire by night. So how fitting it is for Jesus then to say here, in this place and in this context, I am the light of the world. Now in the scriptures, light is a symbol for God and his holiness. And darkness, the world is in darkness. Darkness is a symbol for evil and sin and ignorance. And so in this lighted complex, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Is anybody here making a connection here with what Jesus says to his identity? Jesus is making another claim to deity here, that he is God, because he says that he is the light of the world. He's not a light. He is not another light among many lights. He is the light, the only light, the true light which shines in the darkness of the world. Now, I think there's only one person who qualifies as the light that shines in the darkness. It's God Himself, Jesus. So Jesus then, He says, whoever follows Me will not walk in the darkness. We'll have the light of life. Here He's speaking of salvation. So coming to Christ in faith, this results in a whole new life, a whole new quality of life, eternal life. And Jesus says then that a believer will not walk in darkness. That is, he or she will not live in that. That the believer will not remain in the realm of sin, in the realm of evil and ignorance. For he has Christ as his light and his salvation. The Pharisees unsurprisingly challenge him. Our text today, what we have here, where we're going from here. But see, this is an extended conversation, if you will, an extended debate, extended question and answer back and forth between Jesus and the Pharisees. And again, at the heart of it all is who is Jesus? Who are you? And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Again, some think Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a prophet. Well, he was a good man. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. But he was far, far more than any of that, wasn't he? He is the light of the world. Pharisees are challenging him. They say, Jesus, you're testifying of yourself. And therefore your testimony is not valid. You see, because in the law of Moses, for any fact to be established, you needed to have two credible witnesses who could establish that fact. You couldn't just say something of yourself and just, oh, well, that's true, because you're saying it yourself. You need to have two credible witnesses. So that was the tradition, rabbinical tradition, was to reject self-testimony, to reject self-authentication. But sometimes self-authentication is the only way to truth. Because sometimes only an individual who truly knows the facts about himself can give true testimony about himself. And only God can give testimony about himself. Jesus says he was competent. He was competent to be a witness, a true witness of himself, because as God, he has comprehensive knowledge of his origin and his destiny. So in spite of what the Pharisees thought they knew about Jesus, the fact is they were ignorant of him. They were ignorant of his heavenly origin and his destiny. And thus, they were not valid judges of him. Jesus says, you Pharisees, you judge by appearances. You judge by human standards. You are limited by mere superficial appearances. And so what was this superficial appearance? They saw a man standing before them. And was Jesus a man? Of course he was. But that's all they saw. They saw only his humanity, but their hearts were blind. Where hearts were blind to his deity. And so they misjudged him. But Jesus says, I did not come to judge people. I came to save them. Now it's true that in his coming, it has resulted in judgment, isn't it? And it's also true that one day he is coming back as the judge. But in this first coming here, he didn't come to judge, to wield final judgment on all people, on the creation. He came to save people. But when he does come to judge, he will execute the Father's will according to truth. He himself will pass judgment on no one. He will execute the judgment of the Father. So Jesus says his judging is totally unlike theirs. The Pharisees, their judging was biased and limited. But his is unique because he has this unique union with his Father. Now the law required two witnesses. And Jesus said, you have two witnesses. The Son of God and God the Father are the two witnesses that establish this. And he says, Jesus, I am sufficient to testify of myself. But if that's not enough, Jesus also mentions something maybe they might have forgotten about. He says, the Son of God testifies, the Father testifies, I am sufficient to testify as to who I am. But there's one other thing, the Father, how has the Father testified that Jesus is the Son of God? By what? By the signs, the miracles, right? The sign, remember, it's a sign gives us information, points us, and so it's a sign, we're an indication of who Jesus is and why he came. And so Jesus says, these signs authenticate me. These miracles authenticate him. But that wasn't enough for them. Why? Because their hearts were blind. Now he's saying some pretty provocative things here. But no one arrested him. Because this text says why? Because his time had not yet come. The fact is that Jesus Christ determined the day of his death down to the very minute, down to the very second. And no one, in fact, would take his life from him. He would freely give it at the time of his choosing. But that time is coming soon. And so his time was short, but so too was their opportunity for trusting in him. That time is limited. Soon he would go back to the Father, and they could not follow him there. But then Jesus says to them, I think some of the most serious and most tragic words a person can ever hear. You will die in your sin. Does it give you the chills? You will die in your sin. They would die by continuing to live in the realm of sin, remaining under its power and subject to its eternal consequences. You will die in your sin. And he repeats it then, you will die in your sins. And the unbelieving blind Pharisees again said, who are you? Who are you to speak to us this way, to say these things that you do? Who do you think you are? But they couldn't see the plain truth. They couldn't see the plain truth of what he was saying because they had already willfully rejected him in their hearts. Goes on to Jesus says that for many, only when he is lifted up. And when Jesus says lifted up, what's he referring to? The crucifixion, being lifted up on the cross, right? Only when he is lifted up would they finally see the truth about who he was and why he had come into the world. But nevertheless, in spite of widespread unbelief and formal rejection by the spiritual leadership of the nation, many, however, did come to believe in him. Or I might qualify that or say, believe of a kind in him. Jesus is going to qualify that in just a moment here. So there were many who didn't reject him the way the spiritual leadership did. They were open to him. So Jesus goes on to say, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, and yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Four truths about the identity of Jesus. First, Jesus is the light of the world. Second, here we see Jesus is the liberator from sin. The liberator from sin. And while most rejected Jesus, indeed there were many who did believe in him. That is, there was at least a superficial openness to him and his message. And to them, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I think what Jesus is saying is a superficial belief is one thing, but to truly believe in him, to truly be his disciple is what? We must abide in him. Abide. That's one of those old-fashioned words, one of those old-fashioned English words, isn't it? Abide. What do we mean to abide in him? And of course, it's going to be a key word in John chapter 15 about abiding in the vine, the true vine. To abide essentially means to remain, to remain connected to. Certainly in the case of the vine, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, abide in me." He's mean, remains, remain in him, remain vitally connected to him because he is the source of life. So Jesus says, those who say, oh, yeah, I believe in him, but then they don't remain in him. They just go away from him, walk away from him. They are not truly his disciples. Who truly are his disciples? Those who abide in his word. Those who remain in his word. You are truly my disciples, and you who abide in me and my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This immediately sets off alarm bells for the Pharisees. Set us free, set us free. We're free. We're children of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved by anyone. Well, how many of you know children of Abraham were indeed enslaved, right? In Egypt. So he's not saying all children of Abraham, but we, you know, our generation is we're not enslaved. We're not slaves to anyone here. We are free. We're children of Abraham. We are privileged people here. We're not enslaved by anyone. So what do you mean? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We don't need to be set free. We're free. But Jesus says, no. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You may not be under the power of another earthly human being, a master, but you are under the power of sin, subject to it and its consequences. You're a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You will truly be. You think that you're free because you have no earthly master. But you're slaves to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's real freedom. And that's one of the ironies in Scripture, isn't it? That real freedom comes from being enslaved to Christ. And what people think is freedom, I answer to no one, is slavery. Slavery to sin. Earlier we heard some of the most tragic and frightening words in Scripture: you will die in your sin. But here, by contrast, we see what I think are some of the most beautiful and joyous words in the Scriptures. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But even as Jesus says these wonderful words, there were people there who sought to kill him. Why? Because they did not they did not believe his word at all. Jesus spoke from God the Father. Jesus says, "Are these words I speak to you, I am speaking from God the Father. And those of you who don't believe in me, what you do comes from your father." How many of you sense a little controversy coming here? Jesus says, "I'm speaking from my Father, God the Father. What you're doing, what you're saying, you're just speaking from your father." I'm going to come real clear in just a moment here. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality." How many of you know the implication of that? "We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Wow. That is a rhetorical smackdown, isn't it, right there? It's going to get worse in just a moment here, but... Four truths about the identity of Jesus. First, he is the light of the world. Second, he is the liberator from sin. And third, he is the teller of truth. Tells it like it is. The religious leader said, "Well, Abraham is our father. You know, we are his spiritual heirs. We are his descendants genetically, but also he's our spiritual father. Father Abraham." And Jesus says, "Well, if that was really true, if you were truly spiritual children of Abraham, well, then you would do the works Abraham did." And what is the work Abraham did? He believed. That was his work, right? He believed God. He believed God. He obeyed God. But now, you don't believe God. You don't obey God. In fact, here, I stand here in your midst, and you seek to kill me. Why? Because I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth about myself, Jesus says, and I'm telling you the truth about you, that you are not of your father Abraham. Father, you're not the children of Father Abraham. You're doing the works of your real father. And so they say a little something which I think is kind of ties in with our Christmas story. They say to him, "Well, we were not born of sexual immorality." Why do you think they said that? The virgin birth. Did they believe in the virgin birth? Of course not. So how was Jesus born? Mary obviously was sleeping around. "We were not born of sexual immorality." Yeah, you don't even know who your father is. Isn't it amazing the restraint of Jesus at that point? He doesn't respond to that, right? Simply says this, "Well, if God were truly your father, you would love me." But God is not your father. You're not following after Father God or Father Abraham. You're following after your father, and to get more clear and explicit about it, you're following after, you're doing the desires of your father, the devil. Wow. Wow. Ouch. This is what the devil was a murderer from the beginning. What did Jesus mean? That from the beginning of creation, when was the first murder? Cain and Abel, and who prompted that? The devil. Jesus says the devil, he speaks lies. He's the father of lies. This is the tradition you're following in, not God the Father, not Abraham, the devil, who is a murderer and a liar. Because why? They were doing the works of murder and lying. And then he says something else. He says, by the way, which one of you convicts me of sin? This would have been a great opportunity to start pointing out his sins. But no one did. Why? Because there were none to point out. Which of you convicts me of sin? I have a good friend who is well known in our circles for being the master of sound effects and noises. Ever since we were in high school and even up to today's, he's always the guy you can count on to be making some kind of strange noise or sound effect, right? Sometimes it's annoying, oftentimes it's funny. But anyway, one of his sounds that he does that is just, I'm envious, I wish I could do this, because there are so often this would be an appropriate thing to do, is he can perfectly emulate the sound of a cricket. You know, and can anybody here make the sound of a cricket? There, you see how unusual his gift is here in this? So anyway, sometimes he'll do that. Sometimes he'll be telling a story. And for effect, you know, to make the point of the power of silence in a story, he'll just do that. I can't do it. That cricket sound, okay? Tweet, 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 that sound, the cricket sound. I know tweet, tweet's a bird, never mind. But you see how lost I am with the sound effect stuff, so. But anyway, here's a point where I wish I could do that. So I can't do it. So I'm going to ask you just to imagine that in your mind when I point to you. Imagine the sound of crickets. Which of you convicts me of sin? So Jesus goes on to say, well, you know what? The reason you don't hear me is because you are not of God, you are not of Abraham, you are of your father, the devil. These religious leaders didn't like this at all. But don't worry, it's going to get more offensive. It says, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Oh! Another outrage. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Four truths about the identity of Christ in this text. First, he is the light of the world. Second, he is the liberator from sin. Third, he is the teller of truth. But fourth, he is the great I am. You're a Samaritan, you have a demon. You're saying crazy things here, Jesus. And then Jesus ramps it up by saying, well, if you keep my word, you believe in me, you keep my word, you will never see death. Huh. What more do we need to hear, right? This guy's crazy. This guy's got a demon. Who is the greatest of all? Abraham, he died. The other, Moses, died. Elijah, well, okay, he didn't die, right? He was translated. But you get the point, right? They all died. And, oh, but if we believe in you, we're not going to die. Who do you think you are? You think you're greater than Abraham? He's the greatest of all, Abraham. You think you're greater than him? If he died, and you're saying we won't die, well, then you must be greater than Abraham. And Jesus says, well, you know what? Actually, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, implying that he knew Abraham. The implication there is, I knew Abraham. And he rejoiced in me in this day. What are you talking? You're not even 50 years old. Abraham, that's a couple thousand years ago. And you're not even 50 years old. And you have seen Abraham. And then Jesus says the thing that really gets him in trouble. And that if we just read it casually, might slip right by. But when we understand the implication of what he's saying, this, I think, is one of the most profound verses in all of Scripture. And the Pharisees clearly understood what Jesus was saying by how they reacted. So Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. How many of you know why that was a controversial thing, that they wanted to stone him? They wanted to kill him for that. Jesus was claiming to be the great I am, the eternal God, Yahweh. Because what happened in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses, the reluctant deliverer for Egypt, he was arguing with God, I don't want to go down there. He was saying, well, God, or whoever you are, who am I supposed to tell him is sending me down here to Egypt? And he says, I am. That's my name. That's who's sending you. I am Yahweh. Sometimes Jehovah in the King James Version. Right? It literally means, I am that I am. I am the eternal, existent, almighty one. So Jesus to put it very plainly, you knew Abraham? You're not even 50 years old and you knew Abraham? And Jesus says, yes, because I am the eternal God, Yahweh. Is it a surprise then that they want to pick up stones? Blasphemy! You are Yahweh? What do you want me to do with this? We've seen more descriptions of Jesus, who he is, why he came. Well, so what? What should I do? Well, I would remind us again that those who follow Christ will walk in the light and are free indeed. But those who reject him walk in darkness and are slaves to sin. The question that comes out of that for you, for me, for all of us, for everyone alive today, is this: are you free indeed? How are we made free indeed? Well, by believing in him. Not a superficial, oh, I think he was a nice guy, a great teacher kind of way, but abiding in him, remaining vitally connected to him. True faith. Those who truly believe in him, the Son sets free, and if the Son sets you are free indeed. Because all of us were born in the slavery of sin. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so the moment you put your trust, your belief, your confidence in Jesus Christ, you are free. Free indeed. Now I know this raises a practical question here. Some of us are thinking, well, you know, I believe that, but boy, I still feel awfully bound by sin sometimes. Because the reality is, by faith in Christ, we are indeed set free forever, eternally in him. Our life is now in him. And he said before, and he's going to make very, very clear in John chapter 10, we are in his hands and nothing can take us out of his hands. But we still feel the power of the conflict of sin within us because that sinful nature is still within us, isn't it? But we are free in Christ. We have been set free in Christ ultimately. And by walking in the Spirit, he progressively sets us free from the power, the domination of sin in our life here and now. But the day is coming when we will experience in fullness that freedom that is ours now by faith. And so, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So are you free indeed, believing in Jesus Christ? Believing that he is who he says he is, that he is God, that he took our sin upon himself. He paid the penalty for our sin. He died and he rose again. Do you trust that and believe that? If you do, the scripture says you are free indeed. And even though we still struggle with sins right now, we are forever free from the power, the domination, the eternal domination of sin and death. Free indeed. I think that's good reason to give thanks this morning to our Lord, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus said some very controversial things. And a lot of people didn't like what he said. A lot of people don't like what Jesus said even today. And they don't like it when his followers say what he said. But God, may we be emboldened by your Holy Spirit to speak truth, to tell the truth as Jesus told it, to tell the truth that his word proclaims. But Lord, to speak that truth in love, graciously, but boldly. Lord, we thank you that the light of the world shines in the darkness, that we do not have to stumble in darkness, in sin and evil and ignorance, but the light shines and guides us. We thank you that Jesus is the one who has liberated us from the eternal consequences of sin and that we are free indeed. Lord, teach us to walk by your Spirit that we might be free more and more in our daily lives from the effects of sin. Lord, may we speak the truth with boldness, with compassion, with grace. And Lord, what an amazing thing that you, the great I am, humbled yourself, took on human flesh, was made like one of us, humbled yourself as a servant, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that one day all in heaven and on earth and under the earth will acknowledge the truth and bow before him and say, Jesus is Lord. So Lord, we bow before you now. We say, Jesus is Lord. We believe that. And we thank you. We thank you that we are free indeed. In his name we pray. Amen.